Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We have a quorum. Today is Wednesday, September 18th, 2019, and the time is 9:13 a.m. I now call this meeting of the Dallas City Council to order. Today, we're going to begin with an invocation, followed by the pledges of allegiance led by our Deputy Mayor Pro Tem's son. So we have a special treat today. But before we get to our pledges, I want to recognize Councilmember Kleiman to introduce our guest who's going to give us our invocation today. Please rise for the invocation.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I'd like to introduce Father Pete Costicus, who grew up in New York, about 25 miles from New York City. He went to State University of New York at Albany, where he studied Spanish, linguistics, and teaching. He taught Spanish at secondary schools in the Albany area and in Westchester and Rockland counties for grades 7 through 12 for 7 years. He attended Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology from 2009 to 2013, graduating with a Master of Divinity, and was ordained to the deaconate in West Nyack, New York on September 29, 2013. Father Peter began serving Holy Trinity in November 1, 2013, and was ordained to the priesthood at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in District 11 in Dallas on January 5, 2014. He and his wife have 2 boys, aged 6 and 3 and a half. So, Father Peter, if you would give us the invocation, thank you.
Microphone. Mayor Johnson, honorable council members, I thank you for this warm welcome. It's a blessing to be with all of you. And we thank you for your support and kindness to our community. And please know that in every major service that we have at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, we pray for this city, for every city, and for all those who serve in civil authority. Let us pray to the Lord. Holy Master, who is above all understanding, who created all things, who loves every person created, who know the hearts of each one of us, and who show ineffable and compassion and love. Fill our hearts with your joy and hope, and make the eyes of our heart receptive to your wonders. Grant that all those who serve in this city and all in civil authority may serve with strength, health, safety, and honor according to your will. Bless the homes and families of all who live here. Instruct us in the spirit of compassion to care for those in need. Grant peace to our lives and make our endeavors safe. Bestow everlasting rest to those who have lost their lives in service. Give your hand of consolation to those around the world who grieve and suffer continuously from injustice, natural disaster, sickness, and loss. Lead to repentance all those who cause harm. Give forgiveness, growth, and holiness to all of us seeking your guidance. Purify our hearts so that we may be receptive to your direction. Direct us to your love so that each person may honor and respect the other here and everywhere. For you are holy unto ages of ages. Amen. Many blessed years to all of you.
Thank you very much. The chair recognizes our deputy mayor, who is going to lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance with help from a special helper today.
Please join me in the pledge. Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God,
indivisible.
May be seated. Chair recognizes Councilman Kleiman for a special presentation.
Cultural affairs.
There's a chair on that? Oh. Are you ready, Councilman Kleinman?
Yes, sir.
For your special presentation?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As we have celebrated many years in the past, and once again, the annual Greek Food Festival sponsored by the Greek Orthodox Church, and I think everybody at their place has a nice little start to the season of wonderful Greek cookies that will start our lovely eating season, followed by the state fair. I'm so sorry. Is this better? Thank you, everybody. Looking forward to the Greek Food Fest this weekend here in Dallas. Hope everybody can make it. And we have a resolution from the city that I wanted to read, and if I'd like the Tina and Father Peter to come receive it. Whereas the Greek-American community, which includes over 5,000 Greeks living in Dallas area, have been a vibrant part of the city of Dallas for many years, and whereas the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church of Dallas was founded in 1915 by immigrants from Orthodox countries, predominantly Greece, and whereas the Greek Food Festival of Dallas is a festival held annually in Dallas, Texas, featuring traditional Greek cuisine and Greek culture, the Greek Food Festival of Dallas has grown into an event of importance to the region, featuring the best of Greek dinners, homemade pastries, wines, Greek music, and dances. And whereas the Greek Food Festival of Dallas is hosted by the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church to support Holy Trinity's ministries, community outreach, and youth programs, now, therefore, Lee Kleinman, on behalf of Mayor Eric Johnson and on behalf of the City Dallas Council, do hereby proclaim September 20th and through 22nd, 2019, as Greek Food Festival Days in Dallas, Texas. Thank you. So if we could come take a picture, I'd appreciate it.
All right, let's take a photograph, members. All right. On to more business. We'll now hear from our open microphone speakers. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning. There was a cancellation to your speaker registration. And also the remaining seven speakers that have signed up today will speak before the meeting. We'll begin with James Humberthouse, John Fullenweider, Sarah Mercuria, Queen Montgomery, and Marilyn Cox. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time and the monitor in front of you. When your time is up, please stop. Address your comments to Mayor Johnson only. Also, if you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker is James Humberthouse.
Good morning. My name is Jim Humberthouse. I live on San Fernando Way in Forest Hills, which is District 9. I work in the Galleria area, which is District 11. And everything I say to you today, I can prove. I'm here today because Dallas Animal Services operates with impunity as a de facto terrorist organization in our city. They needlessly harass and intimidate the citizens of Dallas. They waste our time and money. They waste your time and money. And most importantly, they damage the city's reputation with its citizens. At this point in my life, I've lived in Dallas almost a quarter of a century. I met my wife here. We're raising our four children here. We own and operate a business here that employs hundreds of people. We've rescued six dogs and a cat in that period of time, two off kill lists, four off the street. Your information package has some of that information. We've probably paid $500,000 in property taxes also. I have no criminal record, and I've never spoken to any city council in the 51 years I've lived on this earth. But I'm here today because last month, believe it or not, my dog got in a dog fight. It lasted 2 to 3 seconds. There were no injuries, and the other dog owner didn't even report it. A neighbor did. But this is when Dallas Animal Services gets involved. And there have been so many lies, so much mistreatment and intimidation that in my 3 minutes, I can only summarize it for you briefly. I was lied to about my dog biting a person. She didn't. I was lied to that an affidavit was provided by the bite victim. There was none. I was lied to that my dog needed to be quarantined for rabies, despite having all her shots and never biting anyone. I was lied to about the dangerous versus aggressive dog designations. I was told they were effectively the same, when in reality they're vastly different. One of them even carries the future possibility of jail time for me. I was threatened with $2,000 a day in fines and possible felony charges for noncompliance with DAS's false allegations. I wasn't provided valid paperwork for 7 full days and $1,000 in attorney's fees later. I still haven't been able to see any affidavits. DAS sent that request into the AG in Austin, where it will sit for 45 to 60 days. How convenient. And for the cherry on top, I had 5 uniformed officers, both DAS and DPD, 2 squad cars, and a paddy wagon at my house for hours, trying to serve me with an illegitimate warrant. All for a lie, all for a 2 to 3 second dogfight. You have photos of that in your packet, by the way. And this in a city that won't prosecute theft under $750. This is absolute insanity. It's as if we live in the former Soviet Union, and we deserve much, much better than this as citizens of Dallas. And please also note, this case is not about me or my dog. We're going to be just fine. It's about the deliberate, ongoing, and rampant mistreatment and intimidation of the citizens of Dallas by Dallas Animal Services. Today, I'm calling on the City Council to demand a full, independent investigation of DAS and whether they operate in compliance with state laws. And pending the outcome of that investigation, I'm also calling for the termination of the head of Dallas Animal Services. Thank you. You'll find a copy of my remarks in the back of your packet.
Thank you.
John Fullenweider.
Morning, Mayor and Council. I'm John Fullenweider. I live at 1851 Fuller in Dallas, 75228. My subject is poverty and the city budget. It's fair to say that most of us want the City Council to do something about the grinding poverty that oppresses one-third of the children in Dallas. But what should be done? What will help their parents working for low wages or trying to survive in the cruel Texas welfare system? Any program that claims to help struggling people should be able to, one, increase their household income, or two, reduce their major cost of living like housing and health care. But the kind of things that City Hall has done and not done in lower income areas don't really help people at the bottom of the income pyramid. It doesn't help them to provide incentives to developers to build housing for richer people to move in across the street, say across Singleton Boulevard. The higher taxes and rents that follow don't help them. When they're facing eviction because of redevelopment, it doesn't really help them to provide a list of homeless shelters, as was done to the tenants at Brian Song Apartments in East Dallas last February. It doesn't really help them when they end up homeless on the streets to arrest them for sleeping in public or move them from camp to camp. It doesn't help them to allow dangerous polluting industries near where their houses are, like we see in Shingle Mountain in Joppy. And it doesn't help them to flood the community with Texas State Troopers to practice stop and hassle policing all summer long. Development incentives and subsidies are based on trickle-down economics, and they do nothing for poor people. We need some trickle-up economics. We need to try to increase the household income for the everyday, hard-pressed people of Dallas who have lived here for generations. We could do this in practical, down-to-earth ways if we'd give up this trickle-down model. For instance, we could fund an initiative to help 500 people get a commercial driver's license. Maybe they could go get half of the 1,000 truck driving jobs that are listed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area on Indeed.com this morning. Consider parents with young children at home. We can help them turn their house or apartment into a family day home. They could stay home with their own kids, keep up to 3 other kids, and they could make some money and the other parents could go to work. We need to think about poverty differently. We need to do tangible, specific things that actually help real poor people get ahead. Next year, when working on the budget, let's put the Dallas children living in poverty and their parents at the center of the process. After all, they have just as much right to public investment to help them grow their income as do the city's wealthiest real estate investors. Let's think about the budget differently.
Thank you very much.
Sarah Mokuria.
Good morning. Sarah Mokuria. I live in District 7. Over the last few months, we have been having a budget discussion. We started this discussion talking about the violence that was that has permeated our city, and all of us see it as a crisis. And the question was, what is the solution? I remember you all held, at the mayor's request, held a meeting where you used dots to decide what your priorities were, and everybody said public safety. And the Mike Motta with the Dallas Police Association has pushed the narrative of a crisis around policing. We need more police. That has been in every headline and permeated every discussion around this budget. And then we had the KPMG report come out, which has been eerily silent and quiet. We haven't heard about it as much. And I would say the reason we haven't heard about it as much is because it doesn't fit that narrative. It puts forward a narrative that says we need to focus on change management, organization. We have enough officers. And that is not reflected in this budget. This budget, which we say is a public safety budget, should be an anti-poverty budget. With a 1% reduction in public safety funding, we would not have had the fight pitting youth services against elderly services, against whether we should have cultural programming in the city. That would be $5 million we could pour into our residents, an investment in our city, and in an investment in young folks like Joy, who is in, sorry, I would prefer not to use the mic because it's really bad vocals. Well, I'll try. This is awful. Joy, who is a young woman who is an artist who wants to grow up and thrive. Ari, another young artist in this city who wants to grow up and thrive and not have to move to New York or California in order to make a living as an artist. There are other folks like Dr. Njoki who in her 90s, her blood pressure goes up because she doesn't know if the transportation services provided by DART will show up on time to get her to her doctor's appointment. These are the type of investments that we should have. This is the type of courage that we expect from you all, our council and our mayor, to create. Not only you cut, and I'm all over the place, but you cut. The only thing that makes these meetings accessible, off-site meetings, I had to take off work to be here today with you all. That's not everybody has that privilege. And so
thank you.
Th- Thank you. Well, I'll come you, again another day. Thank you.
Queen Montgomery.
Good morning. I was coming before you because City Square, I believe that you guys for local city government support City Square. And I know from all demographics all over the city of Dallas, so this pertains to everyone here on the council, if everybody I can have their attention. I'm letting you know that City Square boasts that they do all these services for a lot of people who are underserved or who are disenfranchised, and they also contract with the Commission there, Workforce Commission, thank you, darling. And they are paying the City Square to be on that campus, but they're closing the doors to people that need to be able to have accessibility to the restrooms 8 to 5, and it's closed at 8 to 4. They don't have a sign for hours of operation saying that they were closed at 8 to 4. And so, therefore, there were so many people from other demographics. Even you have trainers that are with Uber that are going there, and they don't have that accessibility to those restrooms as well for that hour. It just makes all the difference. And so we need to accommodate everyone. And that is one point. The second point would be this affects white, black, Hispanic, anybody, whatever demographic background. When people have to go to work on the day of celebration for the St. Patrick's Day, they're delayed or they can't even get to work. And I would just kind of say, would the council be open to having that day where people for the city owners or employers to have that day reserved for people that can celebrate at the expense of the march or for St. Patrick's Day march, to have that day, because transportation is bad on that day for the train. And it should be not that way, but it is. Thousands of people for that march are on that train, as well as people trying to go to work. Please think about asking the employers in the city to allow the workers to get there late or to let them off that day. The Queen has spoken. Thank you.
Marilyn Cox.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Marilyn Cox. I live at 622 Dalton Trail, Dallas, Texas, 75224. I come to the city council meeting briefing today because, again, based on the budget, we are needing help in our community regarding our streets. We've been asking for better streets going on ever since 2003. From 700 to 800 West Keys, 300 Anzio, 1100 to 1200 Hope Smith, 3200 block of Llewellyn. Ever since 2003, still our streets are not fixed. Also, our neighborhood was built between the 1940s and the 1950s. We don't, and part of our community, we do not have sidewalks. So that means in the 3200 block of Garpan, our children are standing in the middle of the street because they don't have sidewalks to stand on. So just imagine. When it's raining, the kids are in the middle of the streets because they don't have a choice to stand on the sidewalk. Also, we have a house, and this is in a residential area. It's a rental house. It's ran like a motel. cars after cars in and out, in and out. We have complained. I know I have put in at least 7 complaints. But still, this house still exists. It's a drug house. And we need help. Also, we put in for speed bumps. For the last 2 months, between the block of 2500 to 2600 Grayson, every month this sign is knocked down, stop sign, yield sign, and we repeatedly have to call in. We asked for speed bumps, they were denied. Why? We don't know. Because we really do need them. Also, 1010 West Keys, there is another car wash to be built. In our community, we do not want car wash. So I need to talk to someone regarding zoning, because it's just like anything pops up in our neighborhood without us being aware.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for listening, but it's more. Plus, my council person, Carolyn Honor, is not here.
She's en route, but thank you very much.
Gabriel Taylor.
Good morning, Council. Mr. Eric Johnson. My name is Gabriel Taylor. I live at 6121 Abrams Road in Dallas, 75231. My issue is today is I want to speak about the transportational system and route service by DART drivers. How they talk to people out of term, out of calling people out of their names, and also if you can clean up the train stops, the West End, the Forest Lane Station, the Park Lane Station. People hang out there day and night harassing people trying to get to their certain destinations and locations. Like me, when I ride the buses and the trains, I always have a place to go, a destination. I don't hang out at the train stops or the bus stops harassing people day and night. That's my issue, sir. If you can clean that up and clean up those areas. That's all I have to say, sir.
Thank you very much.
Reggie Ruffin.
Good morning. Reggie Ruffin, address 2703 Exeter Avenue, Dallas 75216. I represent Just Cause Coalition. My issue today is dealt with an ongoing issue that's been going on for almost 10 years now. One of those issues is the fact that I'm still here talking about policing in our community. We have talked about it from over and over again, and I've heard a lot of the quips and quotes from numerous police officials, including Mr. Mata, who's talked about the issues we have and about not having enough police to handle the area. But it seems like a few months ago, when they started a construction project on our street, they came, they did their work, and they were very proficient and did everything. And then all of a sudden, the police start coming over to my residence trying to take my car. And I'm going like, what's the reason for that? And they claimed the car wasn't operational. I said, really? Because what it looks like on the outside, it's not what it is on the inside. All I had to do was go out there and just crank it up. And they would have seen that it worked. They didn't want to hang around to see that, but then they put a sticker on there. So what I did was I sent a video to the police department as well as the my councilwoman's office to show that this car is functional and that, you know, I've had this car since 2002 because it's an 88 Mercury Cougar and it's a classic and the should not be an issue and should not have been an issue. I had to move my cars because of construction, which wasn't a problem, moving them over to a neighbor's house whose house is a proximity of mine across the street, but is out of the construction zone. 4th of July, appears that the police decided to do a little overtime work by seizing both of my cars, including the Suzuki Firenza that was getting work because the guy who owned the house is a mechanic. And so I never got a chance to get my car fixed because the officer made a report claiming that the cars were abandoned, which is an egregious lie because the house, not even 100, I mean, the cars weren't even 100 feet from the house. And all they had to do was run the license plate. They would have known that the car's registered. Oh, it's right over there, 2703. So when I reported that and talked to IAD, then I get word back that there were numerous calls and complaints about the cars. So when I came down here to try to get who was reporting the cars, they couldn't get that to me. So here we are now in a state of flux, and I'm hoping that this thing can be resolved.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes your open microphone speakers for this meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
We'll now move to your voting agenda. Agenda item 1 is approval of minutes of the September 4th, 2019 City Council meeting.
Is there a motion for approval? Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Minutes are adopted.
Agenda item 2 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning we have full council and individual appointments. Nominees for full council appointment. To the Arts and Culture Advisory Commission adjunct members, Brian Grady McGahan is being nominated by Councilmember Resendez. Vicki Meek is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. Ms. Meek meets the visual arts special qualification. Also, Mr. McGahan also meets the visual arts special qualification. Victoria L. Farrell Ortiz is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Ms. Ortiz meets the history special qualification. To the Civil Service Board, Kendall W. Scudder is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. To the Ethics Advisory Commission, Paul D. Castillo is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez and Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Thomas P. Perkins is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. Timothy E. Powers is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. And Molly E. Whitman is being nominated by Mayor Johnson. To the Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway, James K. Sharp is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board, Farmers Market, George J. Robinson is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 10 Board, Southwestern Medical, Rob Elmore is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. And Segwendolyn Tyler is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 16 Board, Davis Garden, Augustine Torres is being nominated by Councilmember West. To the Reinvestment Zone 18 Board, Maple Mockingbird, Segwendolyn Tyler is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Nominees for individual appointments. To the Animal Advisory Commission, Caleb Trotter is being nominated by Councilmember West. Mr. Trotter meets the general public special qualification. Sandra K. Luring is being nominated by Councilmember Resendez. Ms. Luring meets the duties, including daily operation of animal shelter, special qualification. To the Board of Adjustment, Matthew C. Vermillion is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. And Roger Soshington is being nominated by Councilmember Thomas. To the Arts and Culture Advisory Commission, Joe Trezilla is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. Ms. Trezilla meets the Performing Arts Special Qualification. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Lori Blair is being nominated by Councilmember Atkins. To the Civil Service Board adjunct members, John J. Kaysen is being nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Housing Finance Corporation Board, Joshua M. Vernon is being nominated by Councilmember Mendelson. To the Landmark Commission, Diane L. Sherman is being nominated by Councilmember West. Ms. Sherman meets the Historic Preservation Special Qualification. Catherine M. Haskell is being nominated by Councilmember Thomas. Ms. Haskell meets the History Special Qualification. And Katie Slade is being nominated by Councilmember Gates. Ms. Slade meets the Historic Preservation Special Qualification. To the Municipal Library Board, Katie Soss is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. To the Park and Recreation Board, Maria Biondi Hasbani is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. Rob Perron Stewart is being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue. And Calvert S. Collins Bratton is being nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Marilyn Daniels is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Ms. Daniels meets the 55-plus years of age special qualification. And Beverly Parson White is being nominated by Councilmember Blackman. Ms. White meets the 55-plus years of age special qualification. And to the South Dallas Fair Park Opportunity Fund Board, Christian S. Hernandez is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Ms. Hernandez meets the nonprofit management special qualifications.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes, Mayor.
Any opposed?
Sorry.
Oh, discussion, Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, as we see, there is one in particular that's contested, and we started this practice about a year or so ago. And I just want to advocate for Jesse Hornbuckle. He's been on the...
Which one's
I'm sorry, Mr. Councilmember Thomas, there's no contest for that position.
Oh, okay.
Vicki Meek has been nominated for that position.
Okay. So his name was pulled?
Mr. Hornbuckle's name was withdrawn.
Okay. All right. Well, nope.
Sorry.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? The appointments are approved.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We'll now move to agenda item 3. Agenda item 3 is final reading and adoption of the appropriation ordinance for the FY 2019-20 City of Dallas operating capital and grant and trust budgets not to exceed $4,043,822,352. We do have two individuals who have signed up to speak on this item. When I call your name, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Christian Hernandez.
Okay, good morning. My name is Christian Hernandez, and I'm a member of the Democratic Socialists of America in North Texas. As a socialist, I'm committed to a vision of democracy that truly means everyone, and that includes our senior citizens, our teens, our trans community, our undocumented residents, our residents experiencing homelessness, and our currently and formerly incarcerated. I'm speaking today to remind each member of the council that we shouldn't hold fast to a mistake just because we make a long time making it. Passing anything other than an anti-poverty budget is a mistake. It feeds into a myth of scarcity that is accepted by the masses and yet only perpetuated by the small-minded. It puts the needs of the people directly at odds with a loyalty to this idea of law and order. It assumes that criminalizing the effects of poverty will somehow make it go away. It is a cowardly route to circumvent rather than to address head-on the problems that our city is facing. The majority of this council seems to have no issue accepting the notion that we needed more money for cops like Rushing, whose slew of fake citations have surely devastated numerous Dallas residents while he sits on administrative leave, for more money like for cops like Amber Geiger, who will set a precedence for whether cops are allowed to kill with impunity. But the real killer here is a budget that does not meet the needs of the humans in this city, that does not address that nearly 1 in 3 children in the city live in poverty, that our city leads in deportations in the nation, that while it has never been a safer time to be a cop, our black and brown communities are being over-policed and shot to death over a missed turn signal. The only effective way to fight crime is to fight poverty, and that does not mean criminalizing those in poverty. We are sick of being the compromise, the balancing variable in your budget. You're faced with a unique opportunity to do not only the ethical thing, but the inevitable thing, because change is coming whether you're aware or not. Because while you may feel powerful sitting in this horseshoe, you do not know anything about power, about the power in our streets, the power of the people sitting behind me, and the power growing in the hearts and minds of every single person in this city who has had enough.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Michael Mata.
Thank you very much. My name is Michael Mata. I operate a business at 1412 Griffin Street East, the Dallas Police Association. I came here today because, as you know, I'm not shy to condemn sometimes actions by city council, by the mayor, by the city manager. But today is not that day. Today I came to thank you. Today I came to tell you job well done. I went to every single public meeting that each one of y'all had. I went to at least one, if not two, of one of your meetings. At every meeting, I heard the same thing. The citizens of Dallas felt they were not protected. They are the ones who called you to action. They're the ones who told you, that is my number one concern. They're the ones that were concerned about double-digit increases in crime, violent crime. They were the ones that were concerned with the increases in murders in this city because it was their children that were dying. Now, the KMBG maybe didn't tell you everything you wanted to hear, but they did tell you one thing, and some people are forgetting that. It said that we needed 700 officers to give 100% customer service to the citizens of Dallas. And the citizens of Dallas expect and deserve 100% customer service, and you are giving that to them today. Just so you know that your work is getting done. When you increase that starting salary, this last fiscal year, we had 1,636 new applicants to be police officers in the city of Dallas. That is a 43% increase from 2 years prior. We have an academy class starting today. It is 82 new recruits in that class. That is an all-time new record for the city of Dallas. What you are doing today, you are changing the pay policy so that we are no longer hiring those, training those, and seeing other cities take them away, some of our best officers. We are correcting something that has been broken for 3+ decades. And I thank you for doing the right thing. You did not kick the can down the road. You did not say, let's let another council fix this problem. You said, we will fix it ourselves. I want to publicly thank TC Broadnex. I want to publicly thank John Fortune, Elizabeth Wright. Y'all had an amazing meet and confer team that met with our meet and confer team, being the labor unions. And as adults, we sat around a table and we fixed a problem. And it is fixed for this part forward. Now it is our job, as we have been doing in the past, of protecting the citizens. 100% customer service is what they deserve, and 100% customer service is what they will get from the Dallas Police Department. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes your speakers for this item, Mr. Mayor. This item will require a record vote.
Is there a motion? Well, we need to read a motion. We're going to be okay. Councilwoman Gates.
I move to approve agenda item number 3, the final reading and adoption of the appropriation ordinance for the FY 2019-20 City of Dallas operating capital and grant and trust budgets. Total not to exceed $4,043,822,352.
Is there a second? Discussion. I'll start off with a remark or two, and then we'll recognize Councilman Narvaez. But I want to, before we do that, just congratulate everyone here for getting to this final step and passing this budget. We've had 4 workshops on the budget. We've heard from citizens across numerous town halls, several of which I was able to attend. We've had 3 public hearings on the budget. We've asked a lot of questions. I didn't propose any myself, but we've certainly had and heard several amendments to this budget, and I hope that today we're able to approve a budget that reflects our commitment to public safety, for sure, but also continues much-needed human and social programs, furthers quality of life programs, and demonstrates our fiscal restraint by not increasing our property tax rate, but holding steady. Agenda items 3, which we just had a motion on, through 10 are all related to the budget. I want to make sure that we give our city manager an opportunity to speak on this item as well, if he has anything to say. But before I do that, Chair will recognize Councilman Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me. I'd like to make a friendly amendment to add $25,000 to the Senior Affairs Commission using the tax rate savings.
Technically not a friendly amendment because it's been moved and seconded. Discussions ensued. So it will be an amendment to this current motion. Any discussion? Councilman Narvaez?
I've spoken to many of you about adding this into the budget so our Senior Affairs Commission can have a budget very similar to the way our Youth Commission has a budget. It's a very simple one, and this will not in any way change the tax rate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilwoman Gates.
I'm sorry, what was the total you asked?
Oh, $25,000.
Okay. Councilman Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I address Councilman Menares?
Please.
I was curious if you had a chance to discuss this with the chair or any of the Senior Affairs Commission members.
I have, and this is something they're they've been talking to me about for the past year that I've been the liaison, had the honor to be the liaison for the Senior Affairs Commissioners to the council, and something they've been really wanting and asking. And also it's bringing that equity for them. We're doing it for our youth, but we're not doing anything for them as our seniors. And these are the folks that are on fixed incomes, and they deserve to have, you know, even though this is a small amount, and let's see how it works and see how they do with it. And then let's help them bring that education back to the city so that they can promote what the senior citizens of this city are in need of.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Councilwoman Gates.
I'm sorry, additional follow-up on that. Do we have the proposal of the expenses of what their budget would be? I mean, where the $25,000 is needed?
Right, so the $25,000 can be used for education. It can be used for support services. It can be used for anything that will help promote the Senior Affairs Commission and the work that they're doing. And so since they don't have a budget, they can't really go over it yet until they get a budget, and then they can bring back to us what they'll be actually spending it on. But I foresee them doing stuff like our Youth Commission, where they get to go to the National League of Cities to go get education and come back and bring things that they can help educate the other youth that they represent. And I think that this would be great if they wanted to do a trip. If there's a Texas retirement organization that does a conference, or if they want to go to the National AARP conference, that they would be able to do those kinds of things in order to bring that education back to the city. But again, up to them what they want to do.
Councilman Narvaez, did you have something to say independently of answering that question? Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Elizabeth, so this $25,000 says it will not impact the property tax rate. Is there additional margin in this amount that does not impact the property tax rate?
There is. In previous amendments, council members cut items from the budget for property tax rate reduction. You reduced the budget to reduce the property tax rate by 1/100th of a penny to 77.66, however, did not reduce enough to bring it down to 77.65. The total flexibility was 125 and some change, and so with this, the remaining flexibility would be 100,000. And it would not, so therefore, this amendment would not change the property tax rate proposed of 77.66.
Okay, so first, thank you for finding that. I think that becomes a good use of these funds specifically for our seniors, so I would be supporting that. My question is, for the rest of council, there are a couple issues that I've been contemplating over this last week. A lot more, but there's two that have risen to the top. One has been for our family aquatic centers and our aquatic centers that close.
I'm sorry, Deputy Mayor, I have to ask you to limit your discussion to that. Are you speaking specifically on
the amount of money that is where the source of funds is for this particular budget amendment? And so I guess my question, but the issue would be is if it's, it might be appropriate to make another amendment that would include a separate amendment, Mr. Mayor, that would include funding for our aquatic centers to extend the service into the times of the year where we have 100-degree weather and that we have a lot of kids that haven't had access to those for that remainder amount of money. The other issue was a greater level of implicit bias training that could expand across our city outside of our police department. So I'm going to listen to the rest of the discussion on this and then contemplate another amendment.
Okay, I was going to suggest that maybe instead of amending this amendment, which I think it's not exactly on the same
I got
vein, maybe a separate amendment.
Okay.
Councilwoman Arnold.
I will support the recommendation of my council member Omar Navarez, because we need the additional funding and support for the seniors. I believe we have sufficiently, as much as we can, provided for the gap for those youth in our extra late hours and other projects. I think it's just very imperative that we not miss this opportunity to serve. So I will definitely support Navarez and Navarez only as it relates to this funding. Thank you.
Councilman, Deputy Mayor, were you, is your light still on?
So now I was going to make an amendment.
Okay. Amendment to the existing amendment that's out there right now.
So I would include that amendment and then say that the remainder of the fund that does not impact the property tax rate would go to aquatic centers to expand the service.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion. Councilman Basil Dua.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is Willis here? Is he still here?
Would you like to ask? Would you like to ask him a question?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Is he here? Mr. City Manager.
Hey, Joey.
Is Willis Winters around?
Councilman, yeah. I've asked for park staff to come to the chambers, to okay. the briefing room, so they can answer your question.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm in full support, but I want to make sure that we are we're going to be able to execute, you know, the idea with this funding and how far out that would go. I know that the Parks Board has emphasized this as a priority to go, I think, through October 1st instead of when it ends now, which is Labor Day weekend. But with the amount of aquatic centers and the amount of growing aquatic centers, I'd want to make sure that we can cover all of them to be able to do that. If we can't, I personally like the idea of the implicit bias training as an alternative. So I'd like to hear from Parks Department to see how far we can stretch that $100,000.
Okay. While we're waiting, we won't hold that against you, your time. Councilman Atkins.
Same thing with the parks. I want to ask, what about the swimming pool? Do they include extending the time of the swimming pool? Because they're in a great need throughout the whole city, the pools. And I don't think it would be fair to just deal with aquatics without the swimming pool because they're in desperate need.
Okay, so we'll wait for Parks for that for you too. Anyone have any more discussion on this pending waiting for the Parks Department to come answer questions? If not, I have a question, which is can someone from maybe the city manager's office or whomever would be the one to explain, I guess, the impact of both of these changes? I just want a confirmation that doesn't affect the 0.7766, and then I also want to understand exactly what these two amendments would have the effect of doing. And just from the city's perspective is what I'm really getting at. What is this money being used for? What is it going to help us do that we weren't going to be able to do under the budget that we walked into this meeting today with? Who wants to jump at either one of those? I think there's an easy one and a slightly harder one in there.
It would have been excess revenue that was unbudgeted for expenses.
So the 0.7766, not affected at all?
Not affected, and the $125,202 would have been excess revenue that would ultimately go into our unassigned fund balance.
Where are our fund balances under this current budget in terms of where, compared to the GFOA's recommendations, where are we?
We are still under a recommended 60-day fund balance by about $14.2 million. So as we execute the next budget year, should there be any savings, that's, of course, a good use for it.
Okay. Is Parks here yet? Oh, there's Mr. Winters. All right. Mr. Winters.
Good morning. Willis Winters, Director of Park and Recreation. So the $100,000 could buy several things, several programs. Here's our cost by weekend for our different aquatic facilities. To add one additional weekend for Bahama Beach, staffing is a little bit over $15,000, $15,300. One additional weekend for all of our new family aquatic centers is $34,900. And one additional weekend for our nine remaining community pools is just under $10,000. So all of that adds up to just over $60,000 for one additional weekend for all of our aquatic centers. If you wanted to only focus on the family aquatic centers, then at $34,000, 100 would buy maybe around three additional weekends. The issue for us is our staffing. Our lifeguards go back to school. They abandon us. We're down to 29% of our staffing by the last weekend before the school. So that's something we would have to figure out. We hired 290 lifeguards this year, the highest total in the department's history. We had a really good recruitment training program for DISD students in the DISD natatoriums that we ran the program for training and swim lessons to help build their swim teams. And from that pool of trainees, we were able to recruit 290 lifeguards. So we've done really well. It's just a matter of figuring out how to keep them at the end of the summer.
Thank you, Willis. I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, also give me the number for what a weekend costs at a regular pool, at our just municipal pools as well.
So for staffing the normal community pools, the cost is about just under $10,000 per weekend.
Okay. So I appreciate that. Thank you for the information. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, if you would accept a friendly amendment to your amendment to earmark the $100,000 for the implicit bias training that the city manager can implement with the City of Dallas employees.
We're not doing friendly amendments. We're doing actual amendments. Okay. Meaning it's not his unilateral decision to accept it. Does that you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
Can I amend my amendment?
You can. You can make the motion to amend your amendment, and the body has to agree to it.
Okay. So I would amend my amendment to include the remaining balance that does not impact or raise the funds to support specific implicit bias training citywide, with a focus on training the trainers so that we could expand this more widely to the rest of the city. And that's it.
Is there a second? Discussion? Mr. Kleinman?
Thank you. So just for clarification, your amendment does no longer include the Family Aquatic Centers being extended season.
I'm trying to navigate what I'm seeing head nods across this council, because this is last minute and I don't love doing this at all.
Yeah.
But it is
how it goes.
So I'm trying to navigate where I think the support is for. So at this point, I was trying to look at that. It looked like 1 month of continued service.
What time? Okay, so I have a question for Mr. Winters. When do we close our Family Aquatic Centers, Mr. Winters?
On what? Labor Day.
The weekend before Labor Day,
right,
Councilman.
So near the end of August. Right. Yep. So, but we could keep them open three more weeks with this $100,000.
With the Family Aquatic Center.
Right. So what amendment is on the table? Family Aquatic Centers or implicit bias training?
Right now, the amended motion with the implicit bias training is on the table.
Okay, because there is a third alternative, council members, which is we just put this money to reserves.
Yep, that sure is an option.
Yep. We don't have to spend every last penny. Okay, I that would be my preference. I don't think I can put a motion behind.
No, you just have to vote against this one.
Right, thank you.
Deputy Mayor, I'm not sure what round you're on, but hopefully the secretary is keeping track of all that.
Third round, if it's Deputy Mayor Pro Tem.
Councilman Blewett.
As a follow-up to Mr. Kleinman, if we just kept this money in the reserve, we have an opportunity to come back and revisit it? Because I do think the Aquatic Center is important, but I don't like where we are on this right now. So could we revisit this, and how would we set the money aside today but know that we can come back to it and see if we can apply it to the aquatics is what I'd like to do. I don't know who I addressed that to, but that's in my interest.
Mayor Medrano, before we go back to Councilman Atkins, since you haven't spoken yet.
Yeah. All right, thank you. I like the idea of funding the aquatic centers but I think there might be an issue with staffing. I've tried to do this in the past, and a lot of these folks, a lot of these people who work in our lifeguards are really are teenagers, and they go back to school, so we lose a lot of them. So I want to know if you're going to be able to staff the aquatic center. I don't know if Robin Steinschneider is here or someone from aquatics, but I knew that I did this in the past, and that's what we ran into.
Okay.
Willis.
So so for the aquatic centers, $34,000, just wanted to reiterate. So that's the cost just for an additional weekend, not the full week, but that's, I think, what everyone would be interested in. And having to deal with staffing for the aquatic centers only versus the aquatic centers and Bahama Beach and all the community pools would certainly be an easier task for us. It'll still be difficult, but you know, we've got some great managers that can, we just need to put together an incentive program to keep them one extra weekend, and we will work with HR to see if we can do that.
Councilman West, sorry, Mr. Agnes.
No problem.
Yeah.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to follow up on Mr. Blewett's question for Ms. Raich, if the funds were put into back into reserves, could they could we pull them back out pretty quickly to put them into parks for the aquatic centers if you know, once that study is finished that Mr. Winters is talking
Absolutely.
About.
It just takes a council action to access contingency reserves, and so that could be done very easily.
Councilwoman Blackman.
Willis, to be clear, we shut down before Labor Day, the weekend before Labor Day. We don't even carry our aquatics through the Labor Day weekend.
Bahama Beach goes through Labor Day, is open through the Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
The aquatic centers, the six or seven aquatic centers, close the weekend before.
Okay.
And then the community pools close the weekend prior to that. So that's how we're able to address right now our teenage lifeguards sort of leaving to get ready for the school year.
But if we ask, what is the success rate if we asked you to bring back teens for a weekend? Do you think, because I know some in our, they do come back for the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. I think that we're going to have to put an incentive program on the table to retain them. That's something we've not been able to do in the past. But I feel like we can, with funding, we can work with HR to put a program to offer them an incentive, a strong financial incentive to stay.
At least through Labor Day.
Yes, ma'am.
And I do think that because it's Labor Day weekend, it's kind of the last weekend of the summer, and to close before, I think we should try for that.
Yeah.
And so may I ask Mr. Magoo, explain to me what your amendment is.
Sorry. The amendment as it is now is with Pazaldua's comment on allocating the funding remaining for implicit bias training in addition to the $25,000 for the senior budget.
So the parks is completely off? Did you change? You went, okay. I didn't know if we were training us to be lifeguards. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Councilman Atkins now, I believe. Did you speak already, Jennifer? Sorry. Councilwoman Gates.
Because we're speaking on this recent amendment.
Yes, Mr. Magoo's amendment to his own amendment.
At this time, I can't support more amendments that we really don't understand the full implication if we're going to be able to deliver the service or not, or how it's going to be delivered. I would put it in the reserves, and then if there's more money needed during the budget in the next year, obviously we're talking about, because we couldn't start opening these centers again immediately now. Obviously we're almost to October, but it'd be next year. You could figure out a plan that could go through the park board and then request that money. Any other money we need for training? I mean, I think at the last minute when we don't even know how it's going to be delivered, what it's actually going to be providing, it's just not responsible. So I'm not going to support amendments to the budget. I think Mr. Navarez's budget
amendment actually had gone. It was an amendment he tried earlier. We are aware of it. We knew the need. I just, anything that's brought up today, I think it's hard for me to support.
Councilman Atkins.
I agree with Ms. Gates. The same thing that our concern is aquatic, but also the swimming pool. We need to look at the swimming pool because sometimes they got to close it also. So I think we should come back. We got plenty of time to come back to amend, go to reserve, put in a reserve, and come back to once we get all information. I think the park department need to go and research and find out what we can do, what we cannot do. Thank you.
Deputy Mayor.
So I actually agree with all this. Knowing that we can get to it, I'll just withdraw my motion and it will rest on Omar's motion still live, if that's accurate.
Yeah, I think if you've withdrawn your amendment to your amendment and your amendment, if you've withdrawn them both, then we are back to Councilman Narvaez's senior 25, is it 20 or 25,000? $25,000 amendment. So is there any further discussion now on the only remaining amendment to Councilwoman Gates' original amendment, which is as it's printed in your agenda? All right. Hearing none, we're on the Narvaez amendment to Councilwoman Gates' motion. All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, a record vote's been requested.
We don't
have to do it on an amendment to the original motion. Your motion will require a record vote. This doesn't, but if you want one, you can have one. Okay. No, we're going to vote on the amendment to the original motion first, and then you vote on the motion as amended. There you go. You got it. All in favor? Any opposed? The amendment is adopted. Now we are on the Gates motion as amended by Mr. Narvaez's amendment, which does require a record vote. Is there any further discussion on the motion as amended? Hearing none, a record vote's been requested.
I wanted to talk about the budget.
Oh, sure.
Whole, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, colleagues, thank you for approving the amendment. I really appreciate it, and I think most of all our senior citizens in the city are really, really going to appreciate it. On this budget, Mr. Mayor, I know you made a lot of comments, and I just wanted to comment that, you know, this is a $40 million larger budget than last year, where every single penny went to public safety. I do agree that those dollars, we need to pay our first responders a fair market wage. I am all in support of that. You know, on this council, I'm always the person who talks about wages and making sure people get paid the way they're supposed to get paid. The hard part is that with an extra $40 million, we didn't get to do anything extra. We didn't get to do anything different, and that's what's the hard part is, because, you know, I'm conflicted. Which one do you do? Which one don't you do? And this time around, public safety wins out, and it should, because our first responders are putting their lives on the line, and they deserve these dollars. We hear some folks talking about, you know, the budget becoming a moral document for our city, and I agree with that as well. And we've been talking about reimagining public safety for several, you know, months, more than a year now on this council. And we talk about it, but what are we really doing with it? Some of the things that have been brought up that we didn't get to this time around are 24-hour rec centers, all-day senior centers, expansion of all social service programs, figuring out how to do a ticket forgiveness program for extremely old citations or for folks that are in, that are indigent. What can we do? What do we do to help DPD? They're doing a great job with the resources we give them, but what can we do to help them? Because it's not just DPD. They can't do it all by themselves. We as a community have to do our part, but how do we do our part by listening to the community? How do we foster help our residents most at need, especially those that are living while homeless? And those are some of the things that we didn't get to address that, you know, we ran out of money, and that's the hard part. But some of the great things that are in the budget, for the first time, we're going to add $100,000, which is getting a match to help with civil issues for immigrants in our city. We've never had that before, so we're going to have funds for immigrants to be able to use for their civil legal issues starting next month, and so that's really exciting. We were able to put $975,000 back into the budget so that our teenagers across the city of Dallas at any age will be able to use the rec centers and not be turned away simply because they can't afford a $5 rec center card. We're adding $500,000 for an after school program so that parents that have to work will be able to not worry where their children are after school, and this is a great thing. We're increasing the minimum wage for all city employees with a plan to get them to $15 an hour, and this excites me because, again, I'm that wage guy, and we've been working on this for a very long time. We're increasing health care benefits for our city employees for the third year in a row with an equity component for the premiums. These are all things that are really, really fantastic. The hard part is we don't have the votes for everything else that we'd like to do. And I'm going to wrap it up, Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry, and just wrap it up with if we want to get there and get more money, and we're going to talk about it later, but we got to get counted. And the 2020 census is here, Mr. Mayor, and make sure that we all get counted so we get all those federal dollars and those state dollars by making sure we count every single individual in this city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak on for or against the motion as amended? Hearing none, we have to have a record vote on this. So members, go ahead and prepare to vote. Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I call your name, will you state yes if you're in favor or no if you're opposed? Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano? Yes. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue? Yes. Councilmember West?
Yes.
Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Resendez?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Basil Dua?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Blackman? Councilmember Kleinman,
yes.
Councilmember Mendelson,
yes.
Councilmember Gates,
yes.
Councilmember Blewett,
yes.
With all 15 members voting in favor, the item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary, and congratulations, members. We passed the budget. Item number four.
Agenda item four is an ordinance setting the tax rate at 77.66 cents per $100. $100 assessed valuation, which includes 56.91 cents for the general fund and 20.75 cents for the debt service fund, and levying ad valorem taxes for the City of Dallas, Texas for FY 2019-20. This item will require a record vote.
Councilwoman Gates.
I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 0.7766 per $100 assessed valuation, which is effectively a 3.93% increase in the tax rate.
Discussion. I'm not seeing any, but I would like for Ms. Rach to explain that that is statutorily required language, but is not accurate in the sense that we are not increasing the property tax rate in the city.
That is correct. We're required by Texas Property Tax Code, Chapter 26.052B, to read the motion exactly as Ms. Gates read the motion today. It references the tax rate and an increase in the tax rate. However, that is technically inaccurate. As you know, you reduced the tax rate today to 77.66. So we have complied with state law by reading this, but I don't want there to be any misunderstanding in the public or here that we raised the tax rate. We did not.
Any further discussion? I believe a record vote is required for this as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I call your name, will you state yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed? Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue?
Yes.
Councilmember West? Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Resendez?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Basil Dua?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Blackman?
Yes.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Mendelson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates?
Yes.
Councilmember Blewett?
Yes.
With all 15 members voting in favor, the item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item five is a resolution ratifying the increase in total property tax revenues reflected in the FY 2019-20 budget. This item will require a record vote.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Councilwoman Gates, item five.
I move to approve item number five. It's a resolution ratifying the increase in total property tax revenues reflected in the 2019-20 budget.
Discussion? Hearing none, record vote required. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I call your name, will you state yes if you're in favor, no if you're opposed? Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem McGue? Councilmember West?
Yes.
Councilmember Thomas?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Resendez?
Yes.
Councilmember Narvaez?
Yes.
Councilmember Basildua?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Blackman?
Yes.
Councilmember Kleinman?
Yes.
Councilmember Mendelson?
Yes.
Councilmember Gates?
Yes.
Councilmember Blewett?
Yes.
With all 15 members present voting in favor, the item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Next item, please.
Agenda item 6, an ordinance amending chapters 2, 6, 7, 15D, 16, 18, 27, 43A, 44, 48B, 49, and 50 of the Dallas City Code to 1, adjust stormwater drainage utility rates, 2, clarify fees authorized for collection for an alcoholic beverage sales permit, and create an offense for the sale of alcohol by business without a permit. 3, amend the fees for the redemption of animals impounded by the city, for adopting an animal from the city, for a breeding permit, for dangerous dog registration, for aggressive dog registration, and for a regulated animal permit. 4, adjust the fees for sanitation collection disposal services. 5, amend the fees for the Dallas Fire Rescue Department related to emergency ambulance services, creating a fee for mobile health care treatment and emergency medical service training write-outs, amending fees overseen by the Dallas Fire Rescue Department, building reinspection fees, inspection charges for high-risk buildings and occupancies, plan review fees for the fire apparatus, access roads, and limited access gates that obstruct such roads, and installation acceptance retest fees, adjust rates and charges for treated water service, wastewater service, wholesale water, and wastewater service to governmental entities, untreated water service, service connections, and fire hydrant usage. 7, amend fees for tire business licenses and mobile tire repair unit permits, adjust fees for multi-tenant registration administrative failure, adjust the public swimming pool permit for permit fee and the swimming pool manager training course fee, and adjust the wood bender license fee for the electronic repair license fee, the motor vehicle repair license fee, the home repair license fee. 8, authorize the city to collect a convenience fee for certain fees, taxes, and payments made by credit card. And 9, make certain conforming semantic, grammatical, and structural changes.
Councilwoman Gates.
I move for approval.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 7 is an ordinance amending Chapter 2 Administration by amending Sections 2-37.12 and 2-105 and Articles 16 and Articles 26A, 1, changing the name of the Department of Communication and Information Services to the Department of Information and Technology Services, and 2, changing the name of the Office of Cultural Affairs to the Office of Arts and Culture, effective October 1st, 2019. This item will require a 3/4 vote for approval.
Councilwoman Gates.
I move to approve item number 7.
Discussion. Councilwoman Gates, anything? Councilman, Deputy Mayor.
Just a quick question. Is this simply a name change, or is this any other sort of organizational change?
Simply name changes.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 8. Authorize 1, the 2019 proposed 3-year meet and confer agreement between the City of Dallas and the meet and confer team made up of the Dallas Black Firefighters Association, Black Police Association of Greater Dallas, National Latino Law Enforcement Organization, Dallas Police Association, Dallas Hispanic Firefighters Association, and the Dallas Firefighter Association, and authorized to the city manager to enter into said proposed meet and confer agreement to be effective October 1st, 2019 through September 30th, 2022, not to exceed $99,396,934.
Councilman Magoo, Deputy Mayor Magoo.
Move to approve item 8 and authorize a resolution for the city manager to enter into said proposed meet and confer agreement effective October 1, 2019 through September 30th, 2022.
Second. Discussion, Deputy Mayor.
I just want to add the words of appreciation to John Fortune, city manager, to Elizabeth Raich, and all those engaged in the negotiation, all the associations that participated in that. I know it's been a tough process, but this is a good point of conclusion as best I can tell.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? The item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 9. Authorize 1. Approval of the proposed plan design changes effective January 1st, 2020. And 2. Approval of the proposed health coverage plans and premium rates, including all of the separate health benefit plans for retirees and their families, including the self-insured health plans, insured Medicare supplemental plans, supplement plans, Medicare Advantage plans, prescription drug plans, dental and vision.
Councilwoman Gates.
I move to approve item number 9.
Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? All? Okay. Any opposed? Item's adopted. Next item.
Agenda item 10, authorize 1, position changes, 2, approval of civilian salary schedules for fiscal year 2019 through 2020, 3, merit pay increases for civilian staff effective January 1st, 2020, 4, increase the minimum civilian hiring rate to $13, includes increasing minimum civilian wage for temporary employees to $12.21, 5, adding a new pay schedules for uniform fire and police, and 6, adding a new salary schedule for uniformed fire and police executives.
Councilwoman Gates.
I move to approve item number 10.
Discussion. Hearing none. All in favor? Any opposed? The item is adopted.
Mr. Mayor, your briefing continues.
Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, members of the City Council. I know you just went through a litany of budget items, and I wanted to thank you all collectively for your hard work and diligence, as well as all the questions and the guidance throughout this budget process. I also want to thank the community for showing up to the 41-plus community meetings that we had related to the budget. I think there was great insight given and an opportunity for them to share, obviously, that we've got many more needs, and it's really a high priority and a struggle to try to balance all of those needs. And I really wanted to say, while we had a few bumps and bruises and speed bumps, I know some of you want me to read the charter now, but I don't want to do that at this late date, and so I'd love for us to move on and figure out how next year we can get to a better place faster and a process that will allow us to make sure that we're continually being sustainable. I know this budget currently does that, and I appreciate your efforts. And lastly, I wanted to thank the department heads and my other executive team for their hard work over the last 6 months in developing this budget, and we're looking forward to executing this budget beginning October 1st. So, again, thank you, and we're looking forward to next year's process as we start to set our priorities early in February. I'll be meeting with each and every one of you to try to identify areas of improvement in the process so that, again, as we get to this time next year, we can find ways to make sure we're making the progress you expect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. Okay, so we have one briefing item today, and that's the 2020 census. Ensuring a full count is vital to our city. We know that. What you might not know is that we're going to lose $1,600 every year per person for every person we don't count if we don't
make sure we get everyone in the city counted. So if you aggregate that up, that means an undercount could cost us millions of dollars in federal funding for roads, schools, healthcare, and all kinds of essential services. So I want to thank our city staff for being here today to brief us on this very important topic. And at this point, I will turn it over to our city staff.
Good morning to the mayor and to the city council. Today we're here and we're excited to be able to bring you an update on the census 2020. Thank you to Councilmember DeVise for kind of giving us that prelude in your comments a little earlier. In just a moment, I'll turn it over to Brett and Elizabeth. Before I do, I want to take the opportunity to just reiterate how important the census 2020 is to the city of Dallas. Not just to our organization, but to this entire community. And so we are working to ensure that all of the efforts and all of the activities that need to take place, that we are making them a priority. The census is one of the most critical activities that we'll be engaged in over the next year, and we know that we have to get it right. There's no room for us to not put the effort in place to ensure that every single resident in this community is counted. Our census team is working hard. We've made a lot of good progress in this last year, and you'll hear about some of that progress here shortly. We're working with the Mayor's Complete Count Committee and really building those important partnerships that will really help us make the census effort successful. So in the next 7 months leading up to that April 1st date, which is the census day, will be critical. Moving forward next week on your council agenda, we have an item which will be to support an interlocal agreement with Dallas County. We believe that this item will provide us with an opportunity to align both the activities that we are currently doing at the city countywide and really utilizing what we will call a super coordinator to help us ensure that our efforts are comprehensive and that we're working jointly across the county. So with that, I'm pleased to be here. We are looking forward to having each council member participate in this process. We need all of you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Brett and the rest of the team to actually give the briefing. I'll conclude with our next steps here in just a minute. Thank you.
So good morning. I'm Brett Wilkinson. I'm the Director of the Office of Strategic Partnerships and Government Affairs. With me today is Elizabeth Saab, who manages the external relations efforts out of my office. And she's kind of leading this effort from the staff for the city, along with Edward Turner, who is our census coordinator and is working away on this. We're happy to provide you today, by the way, with some T-shirts. We have several different sizes back there in boxes, and we encourage all of you to grab some of those. We also have some buttons that are at each one of your places in your notebook. There's some more back there, so we encourage you to wear those. And as well as binders that have been left at each one of your places that includes a chock full of information about the census. It has the city's strategic plan for the census in there, and as well as information specific to your districts related to census. Today we're going to provide you with a broad overview of the census and its importance to Dallas. We'll look at the role and update you on the work of the Mayor's Complete Count Committee. We'll be discussing the proposed partnership with Dallas County that Kim mentioned. And then we're going to briefly touch on redistricting, which will begin after the census is complete. And then finally, Kim will talk about next steps. So it never hurts to do a little census 101. The census is held every 10 years. It is mandated by Article 1, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution. We are missing a little bit of a transition here, but the census information is used to determine how billions and billions of dollars in federal funding are distributed to states and local governments every year, and those dollars are used to make very important decisions. I do want to point out that the census information is not just used by governmental agencies. It's also used by the private sector in making important business decisions. Census data is used for – go back, Taylor, if you would. Census data is also used for reapportionment, to redraw legislative districts, as well as local city council districts. And by the way, it's estimated that Texas stands to gain more than any other state during the 2020 census, estimates that we will pick up at least three new seats in the U.S. House.
This is the first time that residents will be able to respond online in 12 different languages. And I think this last bullet's really important, and we should all be communicating this regularly, that it is safe, it is confidential, and it is easy, and the information is protected by federal law. That's an important thing for us all to remember. Here's a timeline that includes some key dates. Over the next year and a half, our outreach activities, the critical phase of this is going to happen between now and March of next year. And that's when residents will begin to respond online or by phone or filling out the questionnaire. April 1st, 2020 is officially the census day. And then in May, the Census Bureau will begin following up in person with those who haven't responded. Then in December 2020, the counts are delivered to the president. And then in March of 2021 is when the official counts are delivered to state and local governments. So here are some fun facts about our favorite city, Dallas, Texas. We're currently the third largest city in Texas, right behind Houston, San Antonio. In 2010, we had 1.19 million residents. Latest estimates, we've grown by about 200,000. Not on this slide, compared to other U.S. cities, we're ranked ninth, behind New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, San Antonio, and San Diego. And, of course, I'm sure all of you know that DFW is now the fourth largest region in the entire United States of America. Next slide. So we talked about the importance of the census as it relates to the distribution of federal dollars. The next couple of slides illustrate this point. For example, in 2016, you see there, Texas received 59. These are some new numbers, by the way. We've updated these numbers. In 2016, Texas received $59.4 billion in federal grants, and that translates to $2,132 for every single Texas resident. And according to Dr. Andrew Reamer, who really is sort of the foremost expert in the country on census data, Texas stands to lose more in federal funding from an undercount than any other state in the country. And this is a really important thing to note. We could potentially, it's important to note that any undercount that we have is not money that is going to go back to the federal government. That money is going to get spent, and if we have an undercount here, that money is just going to go to another state or other states or other cities. We've listed on this slide a couple of examples of programs that are based either entirely or in part on census data. You can see there here that our region gets well over $200 million annually in surface transportation and transit funding alone, and that's just one example. On the next slide, we've listed several of the formula grants that we get here at the City of Dallas. These formulas are used based in whole or in some part on the census. As you can see here, CDBG, HOME, HOMELESS, HOPWA, UOSI, all these grants alone total up to over $35 million annually. And these are just City of Dallas programs. Understand there are lots of program federal dollars that go to our community that don't necessarily come directly to the city, but go through other organizations such as schools and hospitals, et cetera. So let's discuss the role of the Mayor's Complete Count Committee. Elizabeth's going to go into a little more detail on the work of the committee during her comments, but this is the tool that the census recommends cities use to get the word out about the importance of the census and to encourage residents to respond. The City of Dallas Mayor's Complete Count Committee was formed last summer. It consists of over 80 representatives from a broad cross-section of the Dallas community. Mayor Johnson has taken over the reins in ensuring that this is a robust effort, along with Councilmember Thomas, who chairs the committee. Each council member was asked to appoint at least two members to the committee. You can see at the bottom of the slide some of the roles of the committee. I do think it's important to note that one of the important things about our outreach efforts is that we identify and engage people who the community trusts. And so the Complete Count Committee serves to fulfill that need. It consists of four subcommittees. You can see those listed here along with the purpose of each one. Councilmember Thomas, again, is the overall chair of the Mayor's Complete Count Committee. He also serves as the chair of the Hard to Count Committee. George Tang with the Communities Foundation is chairing our fundraising committee. Mary Poss, former council member and mayor, is chairing our media committee, and then I think probably all of you know Pauline Medrano, former council member and Dallas County Treasurer, huge champion of the census, is chairing our partnership subcommittee. This is just an org chart that shows you sort of how the various pieces fit together. A box that's not on this slide, I just want to mention, and Kim mentioned this, your role is critically important in this effort, as well as the city departments. There's a lot of city staff that we work with that have a lot of regular engagement with the community, and their role in reaching out to the community is going to be critically important as well. In fact, we're briefing them next week. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Elizabeth, and we'll get through the rest of this.
Thank you, Brett, and thank you, members of City Council, for your support around the census and appointing your district representatives. I'd also like to just quickly acknowledge we do have some members of our Complete Count Committee here today, so we want to thank them so much for their participation in this effort. I'm just going to run through these slides quickly. As Brett mentioned, you do have binders that we've provided for you. I'm going to give you a high-level overview of our strategic plan, but that very detailed strategic plan is in your binder. So essentially what our strategic plan does is it serves as a blueprint for our outreach efforts here in the city of Dallas, and it provides specific ways that we will reach out internally and externally. It also includes a timeline for implementation of each of the three phases in our strategic plan and best practices on outreach and engagement for each committee and specifically in each council district. Something I want to mention, there is also what we have, Edward and his team, or Edward and our intern, put together a toolkit for our hard-to-count subcommittee members. That is also in your binder. It's not included in your strategic plan, but it is in a separate tab. I would encourage you to review that. That is tailored specifically for your binder, for your district. Mayor Johnson and TC, we provided samples for you all. So just to kind of give you an idea of where we are in our outreach strategy, we have three phases. The first phase was really about putting the infrastructure together, researching what other cities around the country are doing, finding out what are best practices, what worked in 2010, how do we have to evolve because of the technology evolution over the last 10 years. And then also a lot of the March through July, we spent identifying and onboarding people to help us with this effort. So enlisting the support and the buy-in and getting our Complete Count Committee acclimated to what we are trying to do here in the city of Dallas. So now we are in phase two of our strategic plan implementation, and this is the most critical phase because it involves the actual outreach and awareness. And we are in the final stages of putting together our media toolkit, which will have all of the data and messaging needed for our ambassadors, if you will, to go out and speak on behalf of the census and really get engaged. And as Brett and Kim have mentioned, you all are critical to this because you know your districts and your constituents who are civically engaged. And so we appreciate their enthusiasm and their support and look forward to helping them to spread this message. Also throughout this time, we're going to be hosting trainings, not just for our members of the Complete Count Committee and district captains and ambassadors. We, as the City of Dallas, have been asked to host trainings for other cities to reach their hard-to-count communities based on the strategic plan and our blueprint that we've put together for outreach and some databases that we've created. So I want to also turn to the next slide, which is this last phase, and that's the January through April, which is when we actually get into the census count. So from January through March, we're going to be promoting these weekend-long online census participation events that we're hoping to host throughout the city, where we can drive people to kiosks and places of congregation so that they will fill out the census and participate. We're also going to host a Census Sunday where we engage with mega churches to host breakfast, to fill out the census and host kiosks there. And then, of course, for other religious affiliations that do not worship on Sunday, we will be working with them to help coordinate efforts to have kiosks at their houses of worship as well. And additionally, we've gotten some great feedback from our council who have talked about places of congregation that don't necessarily fall into a community center or a house of worship. So we'll be working with our council members individually to identify strategic opportunities for census kiosks. Now I just want to break down the four different areas that Brett talked about as it relates to our efforts for a complete count. And the first one is fundraising. And so the fundraising committee has been tasked to raise funds to support our outreach efforts, and that includes private and private corporations and nonprofits. And those funding dollars will be used for printing supplies, media buys, large-scale awareness opportunities, and those events that I had just referenced. Just a note about our fundraising committee and its efforts. We recognize that this is an area where there has been, where we have had some significant challenges, and we are working with Mayor Johnson and the chairs of our Complete Count Committee and members of our Complete Count Committee to mobilize and enlist opportunities in this area, not just for those hard dollars, but also for the in-kind donations that will help us support some of the needs for the fundraising effort and the outreach awareness for the census. I want to talk about hard to count now. That is a very critical component of this outreach effort. In your binders, you have a hard to count district map that is specific to your district, and it talks about the demographics in your district. And just a little bit about hard to count. Those are immigrants, low income households, people who of color, people who move frequently, and young children. And those are critical populations because combined, that's a significant number of City of Dallas residents that we might be missing during the Census 2020 count. So just another little piece of information about hard to count on the next slide. There are 201 hard to count tracts inside the City of Dallas or crossing into the City of Dallas. And that is an estimated number of 979,994 people. That's almost a million hard to count people. Again, those are residents that are living in the hard to count areas, and those hard to count tracts are in your district, may spill into another district or fall a little bit outside of the City of Dallas lines. You'll see the map that we've provided. This map is also in your binder under the hard to count citywide map, and electronically we'll be providing a more detailed map, a PDF version that you'll be able to zoom in and see exact streets and where these hard to count residents are located. But again, that hard to count population is critical to ensuring a complete count. But for the districts that may not have as many hard to count areas as other districts, counting the non-hard to count are equally as important because obviously if we don't count the non-hard to count, then we're missing a significant portion of the city as well. So moving on to our next component of the census outreach effort is partnerships. These are members of diverse groups of organizations that we've enlisted support and in helping us spread our awareness, our message rather, and we'll provide them with those toolkits, and they'll go out and speak to their employees, for example, if they're heads of corporations, about the importance of filling out the census to their employees. They'll host kiosks for us, and then also those, you know, hyper-local stakeholders who will help us raise awareness. And I'm not going to go through every facet or every agency, but if you'll see, you'll see we have a wide list of people that we're pulling from, organizations rather, that we're pulling from. Media and outreach is obviously an important component to this effort. As I mentioned, we're finalizing the data for our outreach toolkit, and we have launched our City of Dallas Census 2020 website. Because we have new graphics, we're going to be updating that website. Our media and outreach effort will also include PSAs and strategic media collaborations to help us spread awareness. A detailed outline of what our media committee is doing is also in your strategic plan, and that includes a timeline. And just to wrap up on media and outreach, I really would like to thank our public affairs team who went above and beyond to help us develop our visual campaign and our messaging. As Brett mentioned, we have some T-shirts that we have ordered in English and Spanish that we'd love for you guys to take one or two or a couple, and we'll be ordering more. So if the size is not there, just let us know and we'll get them for you. But this is the visual that we're going to be using over the next year. So you'll see this everywhere. We're hoping other cities will also utilize our visuals so we can ensure a complete count. Additionally, Ed and Taylor Moody, also in our office, put together a QR code. So what we're doing is we, when we go to events, we have pledge cards with this QR code, and people can scan it and get on that website to sign up to participate in the census effort. So just briefly, next steps for our Complete Count Committee. We did just meet in September. Our Complete Count Committee meets quarterly to discuss as a whole what their just updates from each committee, and then they meet during that meeting individually as subcommittees to kind of get their action plan ready for their next meeting. We've also formed an African American consortium and Latino consortiums to help us target outreach to those communities, and of course we're partnering with the Census Bureau on their outreach efforts. So we do recognize that this effective outreach this outreach effort is only going to be effective through as many collaborations as we can establish as possible. And we know that in an effort to maximize our outreach, it's imperative that we collaborate with the county. This is not unlike other partnerships around the state of Texas, where other cities and counties have come together to collaborate on the census outreach effort. So what we are proposing to you all as a council is to partner with Dallas to participate in the vendor selection process, who will serve as a super coordinator for the region's efforts. Just to be very clear, however.
Sorry, can I interrupt you really quick on one point? What does participate in the selection mean?
Thank you for that question, Mayor. We will actively work as part of the evaluation committee. The city will be a part of that process with the county to actually select who the consultant would be to serve as that super coordinator. So we will be a part of the evaluation committee. So that whole process will include city staff.
So
and it's written into the draft ILA that the council will see next week.
Okay, so we just want to make sure we're going to have in writing someone that we are at the table and we have, and we are going to have a strong voice on determining who that vendor is not.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is absolutely correct. Yes, sir.
Mr. Thomas?
Oh, I'll wait to the end of the presentation. Okay. Thank you, sir.
And just to build on, Mayor Johnson, your sentiments about having in writing how our participation looks, we are very clear in that this relationship with the vendor is not to supplement our efforts, it's to support our efforts. So we are providing the strategic plan. We do not feel as though we don't think it's a good idea for the vendor to start over to write a new strategic plan when we've spent the time doing the work that we have done. So essentially this vendor will leverage our work and help us to identify gaps in our work and where we can improve in areas for the census outreach effort. Additionally, because we feel that the effort is important to be consistent across the county, our strategic plan will serve as the blueprint for other cities to use in their outreach efforts as well, so that the messaging is on point and coordinated. And also this is really important so that we don't duplicate efforts. We've spent a lot of time on this project, and we are well underway, as you can see. And so we want to make sure that our work has not been done in vain. So again, just to kind of wrap up our partnership opportunity, is that any funding that we provide as the City of Dallas will be used specifically for City of Dallas outreach efforts. That is also being spelled out clearly in any interlocal agreement that we are entering into with the county. We believe that our funds should stay right here in Dallas for this count. That just to give you guys a snapshot of the timeline, the selection process is scheduled to happen sometime in October, and then it will be awarded in November. And I'll turn it over to Brett now, who can talk about redistricting.
Very briefly, this presentation is geared towards the census, but we wanted to go ahead and get redistricting on your radar because that is the next piece of this. So I'm going to be very high level here. We'll be coming back to you later with much more detailed information on this, but this is a process that we go through every 10 years as well. It's how we draw the boundaries for the city council districts. It's required by and governed by Chapter 4, Section 5 of the city charter. You will be appointing a redistricting commission. It's a 15-member commission. Each one of you gets an appointment, and the mayor appoints the chair. And the redistricting commission actually is the one that draws the new districts. Taylor, next slide. Thank you. When they complete their work, the commission will file the plan, present the plan of the new to the mayor, and the mayor will present the plan to the council. The council will then have 45 days to approve or amend and approve the new plan with any modifications requiring 3/4 of a vote. If no action is taken by the council within the 45-day period, the plan submitted by the commission becomes the city's new districting plan. And then all of this culminates with a new districting plan being implemented at the next general election at least 90 days after approval. So you see on the next slide here, we have sort of a timeline of everything. Census first, redistricting is next, and then you'll notice that in May 2023 will be the first city council election with the city's new districts in place. Again, we'll be coming back to you with more information about that, but we wanted to go ahead and get it on your radar. And with that, Kim?
Good. So just to wrap up, thank you so very much for, again, for the opportunity. We mentioned the interlocal agreement with Dallas County will be on your agenda for next Wednesday. We will be completing those census toolkits that Elizabeth spoke about. We'll make sure to provide that information to the council. We do expect to fast-track this selection process with the county and actually get that third party on board. That will come back to the council as an item to approve that awardee. We will continue through the end of this year into the end of March with all of the citywide efforts. You will be hearing from us a lot. We will be coordinating with your offices on existing events that you're having in your district to ensure that there are opportunities for us to kind of tag team and be at the table with you and provide information during those planned events. We will continue to keep you abreast of our activities. We're available for questions at any time, and we do want this to be a collective citywide effort. So at this time, we look forward to questions or to clarify anything that we've presented today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, panel. That's great. Let's try to keep our comments and questions to the 10 minutes. We can be out of here maybe around 11:15. And so I'm going to ask the secretary if you could run the timer for 2 minutes per comment instead of the five. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's going to cause me to cut down on my praise of you. But I'll try and be.
We can do it privately, man.
Game on. But I do want to publicly thank you for allowing me to continue to serve. Even though I was appointed by Mayor Rollins, you had the authority to reappoint a chair, and you chose to allow me to continue to serve in this capacity, and I thank you for that. And more importantly, I thank you for your confidence and the fact that when we met with our fundraising chair, you made it known, hey, let me know what I can do if I need to pick up the phone, be on a conference call, whatever, to help raise private dollars. I think that's critically important. So I want to commend you for that. Secondly, I want to commend all of my colleagues. I met with each one of you, maybe two-on-one, three-on-one, along with Elizabeth and with Ed. And thank you for each one of you saying, I'm all in, each one of you saying, hey, here are innovative things specifically in my district that I think will be effective. So I want to commend you for that. I also want to acknowledge any of those. If you're here, if you're on the Complete Count Committee, if you'll please stand, we thank you for taking the time to be here. Quick, I don't have but about a minute, so thank you. We appreciate you and appreciate your service. I want to thank Ed and Elizabeth, the dynamic duo. They have put together a phenomenal, when you take the time to read this master plan, it is an effective model. Not only that's being used here in Dallas and Dallas County, but even nationally, the NAACP is looking at Dallas as a model for the census, and so I want to commend them also for that. I want to make it known that from day one, the city of Dallas was on the leading edge on this, putting together this plan. The county has come to the table, but I want you to know the county was invited early, and they did not make the commitment they're making now. At that time, I think it was important for that to be known. One question. Kim, It says vendor support for ongoing City of Dallas outreach efforts. What does that mean?
As it relates to the joint partnership with Dallas County?
On the last slide, it said vendors at a certain date, it said vendor support for ongoing City of Dallas outreach efforts.
Exactly. So the vendor to be selected, the outreach activities that we will plan, those activities will continue, and the outreach that we've already laid out in the strategic plan, we will be asking that third party to support those activities.
Thank you. Last comment. The census has partnership specialists, one that's in the audience, who are available to go out to our neighborhood associations, community groups, and do training. So we don't have to depend on Ed and Elizabeth. They are there just for that purpose. So, and I just sent Elizabeth the email. I'm waiting on that list so we can have that list of 25 or 20, 23 or 25 people who can go out in your district to your neighborhood association and do that presentation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. I know you weren't expecting to be reduced that much time. So, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very quickly, to give praise to Mr. Thomas for being the chair and doing such a fantastic job and really including everybody in the complete count, the entire census. To staff, thank you all. I think right around when Mayor Rawlings appointed you, I was already starting to bring it up, and you were like, this is what I'm going to do. So Mr. Thomas has been a great partner, so his staff. Some of the things we've already started in District 6 during our budget town halls, we brought up the census in every single budget town hall and talked about it just so that folks would understand these dollars. A lot of these dollars we're talking about, the budget we just passed, we miss out on a lot of dollars by undercounting folks. And the mayor brought that up, $1,600 per person. So I challenge my colleagues. You know, I know y'all are all in for the census and to get everybody counted, but I challenge you to do whatever extra you can at any of your public events. I made a commitment that any event that I speak at, that I'm going to slip in the census in there somehow, some way, even if it's in my closing and just saying the 2020 census is here, get counted. And people all of a sudden start asking you about it and talking to you about it. So if you can do that, and then Mr. Mayor, I'm going to give you that challenge as well. Keep talking about that census for us because, you know, you're all over this city, and a lot of people want to see you and hear from you right now. And if you can slip that in, I think that helps us out even more. And I want to thank all of our partners that have joined us as well. And let's get this complete count, and let's get all these folks counted, and let's get that money back to Dallas. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez. Mr. Resendez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You guys mentioned fundraising. I'm just curious to know if there's a particular fundraising goal that you all have.
For a city of our size, based on other municipalities, we have estimated that somewhere around the $2 million mark, but not all of that is hard dollars. Some of that could be in-kind support, so an average of roughly about $2 million.
You all think that with $2 million, you can have a robust effort in order to get this right?
Yes, sir. We do believe so. Yes, sir.
And how much is the city planning on investing?
At this point, with the interlocal agreement, the item that's coming before the council next week, we have estimated to put in that item roughly $1 million, and then to raise the other from private dollars. So that selection of that vendor would do a lot of the work that we would be asking others to come and help that we would have to pay for.
Okay. I just want to make sure we do our part as a city. I think it's a shame that the legislature didn't invest anything knowing that the state of Texas stands to lose so much. Thank you.
Shame on them. I totally agree. Any further questions for this distinguished panel? I don't see anyone. So, panel, thank you very much. And if there is no further business before the council, the time is now 11:11 a.m., and this meeting of the Dallas City Council is adjourned.